Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
Doing all right. Full of the Halloween spirit as we get closer to the All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, just 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, you got 2 weeks till Halloween, less than 3 weeks till the big-time election dealio.
I know, my heart can't take it.
I know, we're getting into crunch time. I actually voted this week. I went out and voted on Friday, filled out my mail-in ballot, and dropped it off at the municipal ballot box, about 5 minutes away from my apartment. So did that. It felt a little anticlimactic.
What were you expecting? Like, you know, balloons going off and confetti and a marching band or something?
It would have been nice. I don't know. Yeah, it feels weird. It doesn't feel as official as, like, you know, hitting that touch screen and then, you know, you hit the big button and you get that little bloop.
You want the ballot box to have a bloop sound?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting to. I want the ballot box to have a bloop.
You got to talk to your local representatives about that, my friend.
I guess so. Maybe I hope some of the people that I voted into office will see fit to give us ballot boxes with bloops.
When will that be on the ballot?
Yeah.
Pro-bloop, anti-bloop, where do you stand, sir?
I know. We had some interesting ballot questions. We were talking about, are we going to legalize the marijuana, the marijuana?
Yeah, the pot, the doobie, the devil's lettuce.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, do I want that? I don't know. I don't partake personally. Don't necessarily have a big problem with people that do outside of them getting annoying. So.
Yeah. Mostly I'm pretty pro it. For the most part, just because of the medicinal reason, just like a lot of people use it for the, you know, to help treat them for their illnesses.
Yeah.
If it helps somebody with their ailments, then I say go for it.
Yeah, have at it. I think the great comedian Todd Barry, he had the best take on it. He said, pot should be legal, but we should still throw potheads in prison.
I'm for that.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, I thought it was legal. Oh, it is legal. Being a pothead is not. And if you weren't a pothead, you could get that.
Yes, just three cheers for Todd Barry, Eddie in all times.
Yeah, I thought that is the best possible take. I like that. I can get behind that. I would sign that into law.
That's right. Todd Barry, you have our vote.
Yes. Todd Barry, he's one of the greats.
One of the best. And you know who also is one of the best?
Who's that?
Issa Rae, who hosted last night's episode of SNL.
She sure did, Darren. She sure did. Issa Rae hosted, Justin Bieber musical guested. It was season 46, episode 3 from October 17th, 2020.
Hot damn.
We did it, guys.
We got to the third episode, SNL. It was this episode was really something.
It was, wasn't it? It was. They did some things. They put on some sketches. They had some make 'em ups and some ha ha's and some attempted ha's and some bits where some musical instruments were played and people were singing.
Yeah, they really strayed away from the formula this episode.
They did. They really broke away from the formula, the 46-year formula.
So this one, like we said, had host Issa Rae. For those who aren't familiar with her, she created a web series about 10 years ago called The Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of didn't go viral, but it had a strong following. And from that, she was able to work with Larry Wilmore on her show Insecure, which is on HBO. And then she kind of blew up a little bit. You know, she's like a writer, producer, creator, and actress. And she even mentions, in the monologue, that she was originally supposed to do the show back in March, back when she had two movies come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Lovebirds, which was a rom-com with Kumail Nanjiani. And she also had a romantic drama called The Photograph, with Lakeith Stanfield, which I remember because that was the last movie I saw in the theater before the world ended.
Wow. Okay. This is, I think I've maybe heard her name in passing, but she has largely passed under my radar. But you were a fan of hers coming in.
I am. Like, I really, you know, the wife and I really dug her web series, Awkward Black Girl. I watch Insecure all the time. It's a really good show. So, like, I you know, I've seen her in interviews and know she can be really funny. So I was kind of coming in with high expectations. I think, oh, she may really be good in this.
You were looking forward to it.
I was. And for the most part, maybe I shouldn't give away what I think.
Okay. Well, I think you kind of did. But before we get into Issa Rae's specific contributions, we should cover the cold open, which, as you might expect, in an election year, less than 3 weeks away from an election, we did the dueling town halls because we had. Okay, we normally, in a normal year, we would have had a second presidential debate this week, but we didn't have that. They couldn't come to terms on this, so Biden said, okay, I'm going to do a town hall thing on ABC, and then, like, less than a week before, NBC announced we're doing a town hall with Trump, and it's going to be scheduled opposite the Joe Biden town hall, and it's just insane, right?
It is. It's like, I mean, that was my scream of angst.
But just yeah, because, like, yeah, but, I mean, that sums it up, that sort of guttural reaction. That's, wow. Yeah.
I mean, just because Trump was like, oh, there's going to be virtual, you can't do virtual, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
So now he just, like, kind of pouted and took his ball and went home, and he's just, like, had this other, you know, town hall of his own. And it just stinks of petty. And then the fact that NBC agreed to do it, you know, NBC got a lot of backlash for that, especially, like, a lot of people who are on NBC, like cast members of This Is Us and whatnot. So they threw in a couple of jokes about that. Well, they threw in one in the cold open, and then Che had one in the Weekend Update that we will get to. That was
Yeah. I feel like NBC deserved the flack that they got because, I mean, they didn't have to schedule it opposite the Joe Biden town hall. I feel like that was a bad call. And it just pissed me off because it's like NBC has done a lot to kind of normalize Trump.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, the fact that he hosted SNL in 2015, you know, the Jimmy... Fallon hair tussling thing. Yeah,
the tussle heard around the world.
Yeah. And it's just like all these things. It's like, ugh, ugh. And now you do this. Ugh, ugh, NBC.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty much with, even if they did it like an hour or two before or after Joe Biden's town hall, that, or yeah, like they could have done that. So I don't know why they chose to do it like right at the same time. That seems like a really, I won't say vindictive, but it stinks to me.
I wonder if, like, maybe that was a requirement from the Trump camp, like, oh, we'll only do this if you put it right opposite Joe Biden, and NBC caved and let them do that. I don't know.
To quote John Lovitz as the critic, it stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. It stinks to high heaven. Okay. So that whole thing, the whole thing seemed kind of shady going into it, you know?
Absolutely. And then we got this cold open from it, which I'm just going to say it off top. This cold open was a bit of a slog to get through for me.
Yeah, it's another 12 minute thing where they're trying to recount everything that happened in the town hall, like almost beat for beat for both of them. I mean, the premise was like, we're going to present this how most Americans watch it, flipping back and forth on TV. I just watched the Biden thing straight through, and because I knew I'd see whatever highlights or lowlights from the Trump thing on the news after, or read about it on Twitter, which is exactly what happened. So I wasn't flipping back and forth like a lot of people were, I think. But did you watch these? How did you watch them?
I didn't watch either one. I was actually hanging out with some friends in the park, just talking and like catching up with some buddies of mine.
Oh, look at you being like social and stuff.
It's better. Hey, man, it's just, I'm very popular. What can I say? The people love me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you made the right call. You made the right call. So we had of course Jim Carrey playing Joe Biden, Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump, Mikey Day as George Stephanopoulos, who was talking to Joe Biden, and Kate McKinnon as they called it, surprise badass Savannah Guthrie talking right to Trump.
Yeah, and like you said, it was basically them going back and forth in between the two town halls. I mean, well, like I said up top, I was kind of slogging through it. And like the one thing I really wasn't wild about was, like you said, they were kind of going through the what happened in each, you know, each town hall beat for beat. And and like the, I think that's the thing that really bugged me, is like there weren't any real jokes really, or any strong jokes in it. Like, well, at one point, there's that one woman that became kind of a viral sensation, that Paulette Dale, the blonde woman with the red glasses. And, like, you know, it was played by Chloe Fineman in this cold open. And she was saying, oh, let me see your smile. You have such a beautiful smile, which is exactly what the actual Paulette did in the town hall. But
the Trump town hall.
The Trump town hall, right. But, yeah, but there was no joke there. It was just her, like, recreating what happened, thinking that would, because they were thinking the reality is strong enough to be the joke, because it is a joke, you know, in a way, but it just wasn't. And I don't know, I could feel like the audience really wasn't too into it. And like at one point of what Paulette said, I think Trump asked, you know, Paulette in the cold open, like, hey, where, you know, where are you from? And she's like, oh, I'm from Mexico. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm from Mrs. Maisylvania. And I'm like, what? That's it? Yeah. That's the I don't know. There was a lot of weak jokes in this.
I mean, the Trump side of it was about what I expected, because they were making jokes about how Savannah Guthrie, like, asked him some hardball questions, from what I saw was the truth. But the Biden side, it really kind of pissed me off, because they were presenting the same tired old thing of Biden being out of it. And I watched his entire town hall. That was not what happened at all, man. He was cogent throughout. He was answering questions thoroughly. It was like, it was dry almost. I mean, Biden was not acting erratically at all. And I really felt it was irresponsible of them to present it that way. I mean, it really kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I guess they thought, because it seems so dry and so like what politics used to be, it's not entertaining anymore. So they had to like maybe paint it in this kind of weird lens of him being, you know, the doddering old man, which I guess is the route that Jim Carrey is taking with this, you know, this Joe Biden impression.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really gotten behind the narrative of, oh, you know, Biden is losing his faculties and all of that. So I just could not get behind where they were coming from, because I was like, no, this was not what happened. And it really bugged me, man.
Okay. No, fair enough. I mean, we're very close to, you know, election day and all this being over. So like to have something like this where it paints him in this not great light and make it fun of him, like, I don't know if we need to be doing this at this late in the game. But I mean, at the same time, I guess they figured, well, most people have already decided who they're going to vote for, so we can maybe take liberties and, you know, mock him or something like that.
This is true. I don't know. I'm not really feeling the Jim Carrey Joe Biden personally. I don't feel like he has a good take on him.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I mean, I like Jim Carrey. I think he's a great, you know, sketch performer, one of the greats. But this Joe Biden, I don't know. I mean, this is the third time he's doing it, and he's just kind of, I think he's still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because, like, this is the third show he's doing it. You should have it figured out by now. But if you're still...
It felt like he was, like, workshopping it on national television.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was like, okay, why are you doing the sunglasses on Joe Biden? Is him wearing sunglasses a thing? Like kind of like what I said last week with Kamala Harris saying Joe Biden's name is Joe Biden. as one word. I was like, is that a thing? Is that a thing that she does? I've never noticed that.
I think maybe it's like a thing she did once and like they just thought that was good enough to make it like a character trait. But I don't know. I just thought this was really, really lacking in jokes. It seems, and they do this thing that, like, I'm sure we talked about it before, where because it's the cold open, I guess they feel like it has to be, you know, 12 minutes long or 13 minutes long, but the jokes aren't there to fill up that 12 minutes or 13 minutes. I'm like, dude, just make this shorter. If you don't have the jokes to, because, like, so many of the jokes just kind of fell flat or just kind of were, like, whatever. Right. And it's like, dude, if you don't have the jokes, just cut the fat, make it shorter, make it like 7-8 minutes.
And like 7-8 minutes would be plenty. And like, you know, why did you feel the need to work in Maya as Kamala Harris? I recognize that she's popular, but she had nothing to do with the town halls this week. So you could have skipped her. You could have left her out of the sketch and it would have been fine.
I think just because like they have her, you know, for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And like they think, you know, I think it's because, like, you know, they know people like her, Kamala. So it's just like, oh, maybe we'll just put her in and it'll go viral or it'll, you know, make the news on the blogospheres and whatnot. But it's just it felt like she was shoehorned in just to point out the woman who was behind Trump in the actual town hall, who was, like, kind of shaking her head and doing a, you know.
Yeah, nodding excessively and stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah, but even that
didn't really actually broke a little bit at that moment.
A little bit, yeah. But like, even that kind of really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I liked towards the end where they had Joe Biden like putting on the Mr. Rogers sweater and stuff because some Republicans were trying to go at him, like comparing him to Mr. Rogers as if that's an insult.
Yeah, dude, we should all try to be like Mr. Rogers. If you think being Mr. Rogers is an insult, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I mean that says more about you than the person you're commenting on. I mean,
since you're a garbage person.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I liked how they were exaggerating at the end where they had like Savannah Guthrie and Trump like just facing off like a wrestling match, and she actually hits him with a folding chair. I thought that was cool because I mean you're exaggerating from reality. So I wish it'd gone a little more in that direction, and then. And we had Biden as Bob Ross at the end, which...
Yeah, like, I thought that was... It was getting a little better towards the end, just because... I mean, like we talked about last week, where because the reality we're in now is already such a parody, such a mockery, you have to find a new way to mock the mockery or parody what's already a parody. So the way you do that is go more surreal with it. So, like, towards the end when they were doing, like, you know, the Bob Ross and the Mr. Rogers and the WrestleMania... That's where it's like, oh, they should have done that, like, kind of from the start or, like, way earlier.
Like, start from there and then take it from there. I mean, that would have yielded more comedic fruit. I was impressed with Kate McKinnon's Savannah Guthrie. I thought she looked a lot like Savannah Guthrie with just the addition of a wig. Or, you know, maybe the makeup people worked on her a little bit to make her look more like Savannah Guthrie. But I was like, that's a pretty good Savannah Guthrie. I watch the Today Show most mornings, and I was like, that's a pretty good Savannah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kate looked the part. I mean, Kate's always good, and she did what she could. It was just the material I thought was, like, really, like guys, this is weak.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I hate to sound negative, like a Debbie Downer, but, like, it was just like, this isn't, thank you, there it is. But, yeah, I just thought this cold open was just, it was just not strong.
No, not getting off to a good start. But anyway, we kicked them enough for that. Next, we have Issa Rae's monologue, where she comes out. She talks about how she's the first black woman to host SNL.
And that's not true at all.
Not true at all. But I got an applause break from people who had no idea.
Yeah. When people applauded, I was like, as people were applauding, I was like, that's not true. What are you talking about?
I think it was just people, they were afraid not to clap. They're like, we're going to clap just in case this actually is a milestone.
Tiffany Haddish did it like a year ago.
Maya Rudolph is hosted.
What are you talking about, people?
I mean, but
I like how she called him out on it.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, she was pretty engaging during the monologue. Yeah, like... like you said earlier, she was supposed to host the show back in March, and now she has no reason to host because she has nothing to promote.
Yeah.
You know, like, people ask her, what have you been working on? She's like, puzzles, bitch, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty much like her talking about what, all this going on and what she's been up to. You know, of course, she's saying, like, yeah, if you're upset by any of this, just, you know, take. I think she called herself Mary J. Blige.
Yes, she did. She
white
did.
White people don't know the difference, I guess.
No, maybe not.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I thought it was an okay monologue, I thought.
Yeah, it was all right. I liked how she talked about how her, like, she apparently, like, broke big right around the time that Trump was elected. And she said, it was rude for me to be peaking right as democracy was collapsing. So she can't really talk about how the fall of 2016 was so good for her.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was neat. That was a neat slant to have.
Yeah.
Decent monologue. You know, she seems nice enough. I mean, this was kind of my first exposure to her. I was reacting to her almost cold. So.
Okay. All right. Well, now you know.
Now I know. So next we had the first sketch, which was a Canadian news show, which was a talk show on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcast Channel Network, I don't know, called Bonjour Hi, which is a French-Canadian morning talk show live from Montreal with Bowen Yang and Kate McKinnon as the hosts.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, I'd have to assume that, like, maybe Bowen had a hand in writing this one. But yeah, this is a Canadian morning show. It takes place in Montreal, which, of course, is the best parts of Canada with the worst parts of France.
Yes, yes. And we had Mikey Day as an American journalist who's quarantined in Canada, and he's not really picking up on the vibe. He can't follow the conversation in French. And we had Issa Rae as a roving reporter for a feature called Drake Watch, where she just talks about whether or not she's seen Drake.
Yeah, I mean, this sketch was, I mean, it's basically like a bunch of kind of French-Canadian Montreal stereotypes just kind of mashed up into one sketch, like, you know, making mentions of Degrassi High and Cirque du Soleil. I think I remember even seeing, like, Bowen just tweeting out, like, recently saying, yeah, the sketch was just basically our excuse for us to talk in crazy French accents.
Yeah, okay. So that's why they did it. I was like, okay, why is this happening? Did somebody, like, go to Canada during the hiatus or during the summer break? I don't know.
I feel I thought
Bowen and Kate were good. They had a nice chemistry together. But I didn't quite get the point of this. And I certainly don't get why it was the first sketch.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I thought this sketch was interesting, but I don't know if it was actually funny. Good to see Bowen and Kate kind of do, you know, their character work as these two French-Canadian reporters. You know, of course, the sketch ends with both of them singing a Celine Dion song because that's what all Canadians do. They love Celine Dion. Yeah. Shout out to John Murray from SNL After Party. I mean, as far as first sketches go, I thought, like, I don't know. It was more interesting than funny, I thought.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. I mean, I was just kind of scratching my head. I was like, why is this the first thing? I mean, if it was, like, buried a little later in the show, I could get it a little more. So I was just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think at one point, because I think Mikey Day is supposed to be playing the average American like us looking in on this Montreal world, not quite getting it. Like, like when Bowen asks him, what do you think of Drake? And he says, well, I don't know. I think, like, you know, the best years of Drake are kind of behind him. I think he's kind of over it. And, like, of course, Bowen snaps and shouts something in French angrily at him, like, you know, Zutelo, or whatever they say up there.
Who knows? I don't know. I know that Quebec French or Montreal French is different from French French. So they were getting a little mileage out of that, but I don't know. Maybe I didn't have the background to get it.
Right. Like, I mean, I've never been to Montreal, so maybe did I go to Montreal? No, I didn't. I was confusing with Toronto.
I love how you don't remember if you've been to Montreal or not.
I don't know what I do half the time.
Darren spent a lot of time working as a drug mule, ladies and gentlemen, and he made so many runs. He does not know where he has been and where he is not.
Hey, man, I gotta pay those student loans somehow.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, the Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule, actually based on Darren's life story.
That's right. I signed away the rights. I don't know if you need to be from Montreal to really get, you know, to pick up what they're doing here. But, to me, it just seemed like a bunch of Canadian stereotypes mashed into a sketch. Where it's like, oh, look how weird they are up here. Hilarious. Yeah.
All right. So next we had a pre-tape, 5-Hour Empathy. This was a fake commercial with Beck Bennett as like a concerned citizen saying, you know, how can I help with everything that's going on in the world when I don't even understand what some people are going through? And they introduced this product from the makers of 5-Hour Energy called 5-Hour Empathy, where you can see the world from the point of view of another person for 5 hours.
Right. It's like basically like a little small 5-Hour Energy bottles, and you take it and you get 5 hours of a deep understanding of years of systemic oppression and ever present racism. And then Beck sees it, and then Beck sees it and is like, oh wow, that's fantastic. And then he puts it down and does not drink it.
Yeah. And then Keenan, as the narrator, is like, don't you want to try it? You did say you wanted to understand what was making people so upset, right? And then Beck actually like fakes taking it, and he's like, oh yeah, I see it now. And they're like, no, you didn't actually take it. He's kind of scared to find out the answer. He's scared to find out he's part of the problem.
Right. And then Heidi comes in and said, hey, honey, what's wrong? Are too many NFL players kneeling again? And then he's like, no, I wish more NFL players would kneel.
Right. Right.
And then I think he offers Heidi it, or the narrator Keenan says, oh yeah, this is the 5-hour empathy. And then Heidi is like, oh no, I don't need to take that because, you know, I'm a woman, and it's the same, as she slowly backs out of the room.
Right. So it's just they're in their kind of white suburban bubble, and they don't want to have that disturbed necessarily.
Right. I love this sketch. I thought it was like the sketch of the night for me.
Same for me. This was really good. This was the sketch of the night as far as I'm concerned. I was very surprised to read on Twitter this was actually originally done for the Chris Rock season premiere, and they cut it.
Aww.
And I was just like, why did you cut it? This was the strongest thing on tonight, and it would have been really strong in the Chris Rock show too. So I don't know if it was a time thing or if it just didn't make the cut for content reasons, but I was like, this was great. And it was also good because it was only like a little over 2 minutes, so didn't overstay its welcome, just got in, made its point, delivered some laughs, and boom, that's all you need.
I mean, this is the strongest sketch of the season so far. I mean, I know we're only 3 episodes in, but like, I think this is stronger than most of the sketches from the Chris Rock episode and the Bill Burr episode. And I've talked about how I really like sketches that like have a point or have a message in them, but they don't shove it down your throat. Like they kind of, you know, they candy coat it in comedy first, but then there's a message in it. And I really like this because it's like them saying how, you know, certain white people, like they say they want to know, you know, why, you know, black people and disenfranchised people are upset and angry. They don't get it. Mm-hmm. But like, if you give them like a way that they could get it or could understand it, odds are they wouldn't really take it. They just kind of want to give the appearance that they care.
But, right. Yeah, like they want the points, but they don't necessarily want to hear something they don't want to hear.
Yeah. So. Exactly. It's like, I mean, if you really like now, like, you know, I always, if you listen to like, you know, maybe conservatives or whoever who say like, I don't understand why they're so angry. Why are these people so upset? And in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, you could watch all these documentaries that, you know, say what's going on. Or you could watch this film, or you could read this book, or you could listen to this song. There's tons of songs about why people are so upset. But then,
you know, we're angry because of X, Y, Z. And then it's like, but I still don't get it. Why are they so angry? And it's like, I just fucking told you, dude.
Yeah. It's like, do you really not get it, or do you just not want to get it? Because like, then you'll be faced with an ugly truth. And I mean, I liked how this sketch kind of showed that. Like, I liked the turn it took that I didn't see coming, where I was like, oh, that's really clever. I love this sketch.
It was really good. It reminded me a little of when they did when they finally did the feature film version of Hitchhiker's Guide for the Galaxy, or to the galaxy. And they had a concept in there. They had a weapon called the point of view gun, where you would aim the gun at somebody, and then if you hit them with the gun, they would suddenly see the world from your point of view for like a few minutes or a few seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's such a great concept. That was like a concept that Douglas Adams, I think, contributed to the movie. And I was like, oh yeah, that would be a really neat thing to have.
That would be a beautiful thing to have. Wow. I don't remember that. Like I'm a huge fan of the book, but I saw the movie. I thought it was okay, but I don't remember that part of
the thing
in it.
I mean, the movie has its problems. They did some things brilliantly and they did some other things not so brilliantly, but I really like the concept of that, and it played into the climax, as I recall. I should watch that movie again.
Yeah, wow. Me too. Wow, guys, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, go watch it.
Go check it out. It's got Martin Freeman. I mean, how bad can it be?
Yeah, come on. He's America's sweetheart.
Exactly.
From the UK.
Yes. Next, we had First Date Exes with Issa Rae and Chris Redd as a couple on a first date. And they keep running into Issa's exes coming by in the outdoor restaurant that they're at.
And that's, I don't know, there wasn't much to this sketch. Like, basically, one of Issa Rae's exes, played by Keenan, who looks like a homeless, disheveled man.
Mm-hmm.
Then another one, played by Pete Davidson, who, the guy goes by Karate Man, who's just a
Karate Man, yes.
He just wears, like, a karate gi with a trench coat over it.
Right.
And a headband. And a headband, of course. You can't forget that. Yeah. You know, Cobra Kai. And then Bone Yang comes out as like a robot man, like one of those guys in Times Square is just painted all in silver.
Yeah.
This is a robot. I don't know. Does this sketch seem to meander a little bit for me?
It was interesting. It wasn't, it was okay. I did like how each one of the guys that came by, they made a point of mentioning the phrase titty meat.
That was interesting. Yeah,
that was just a weird runner. Keenan comes by and he was talking to Issa and saying like, "Oh, you're looking good. Titty meat's popping out." And then Pete Davidson comes by, also mentions the titty meat. And then when Bowen comes by, he's like, "I'd recognize that titty meat anywhere."
That was interesting because like I want to find out who wrote this sketch, because I remember hearing that phrase like years ago in a Patrice O'Neill special back in like 2011. Yeah, if you watch like Elephant in the Room, he does say that exact same phrase. So I'm like, oh, whoever wrote the sketch, maybe they're a big Patrice O'Neill fan.
Oh, I'd forgotten that because I'm pretty sure I've seen that special. But so titty meat kind of hit me out of the blue.
It's not funny. Yeah,
I was just like, okay, we just heard titty meat popping out on NBC.
Welcome and to 2020.
I'm amused that they got that on.
Me too, yeah. Like, I think about it, like, wow, they got that through. Wow.
Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure. This was, I kind of wish they'd taken this further. I feel like maybe the X's could have gotten even more increasingly bizarre or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it needed something else. It seemed like it was kind of halfway done or half baked, this premise. It didn't really seem to go anywhere. Then at one point, Issa brings up the fact that she met all her exes at her job because she's a Times Square Elsa.
Right.
But even that doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't really go anywhere or add anything to the sketch. So I'm like, why bring that up then?
SNL, they sometimes have a tendency to just give everyone in a sketch a bizarre trait, either whether it goes anywhere or not. You know, I guess because just they want to have everyone play some weird note in the sketch.
I mean, I'm fine with that if it's funny. I mean, even if it doesn't add to the sketch, as long as it's like a really funny aside, I'm okay with that. But that wasn't even like, oh yeah, I'm the first black Elsa in Times Square. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. The sketch needed more.
It was
lacking. I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought it was well performed. I felt like the writing wasn't quite where it needed to be.
No, agreed.
Okay. Right. Next, we had Justin Bieber in his musical segments. First, he did a song called "Holy" with Justin kind of trying to look all gangster. He's kind of decked out like Eminem in 8 Mile or something.
Oh yeah, he's got like the he's got the little wool cap. He's got the sweatshirt. He's covered in tats or ink, as they say. He's a big boy.
Yeah, yeah. He's not the tween that we all fell in love with back in whatever year it was. I don't know.
We have no concept of time anymore.
We do not. I mean, we had a surprise Chance the Rapper cameo when he came out.
Yeah, actually, I think he tweeted us out that he was going to be there. So, I mean, it's not a super surprise. But, yeah, Chance came out. Interesting backdrop he had, interesting set. It was like he had, like, a neon cross in the background, and he had, like, he was performing underneath, like, a lean-to or, like, a chuppah.
I mean, it looked almost like a mock manger, you know?
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, this song kind of, almost got like Christian rocky a little bit, like
I mean, I guess Justin Bieber's found religion or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's been joining. I think he joined a church like in Montclair or something. I remember hearing about him being
in Montclair, New Jersey.
I believe so. Like I remember hearing about him joining this church and kind of finding God again. And like he's been seen, I believe, in Montclair, New Jersey, with this dude that runs the church.
Wow. Okay.
So you know. Jersey strong, I guess.
Does Justin Bieber live in Jersey?
He might have a house out here. I've heard he, you know, there have been sightings.
I mean, okay. For people who don't know New Jersey, Montclair is, like kind of a college town, but it's also kind of like a ritzy, well-to-do type of area. Like Stephen Colbert lives in Montclair. It's not unheard of for a few famous people to live in that area. But I had no idea that Justin Bieber was one of them.
Yeah. All right, here it goes. So, back in 2017, he has been seen in Montclair, New Jersey a number of times.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome Biebs.
Right. Jersey welcomes you with open arms.
Okay.
But yeah,
I mean, no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? We claim him. We got the Biebs, everybody.
Did you notice in the lyrics that they mentioned Joe Pesci at one point?
Oh yeah, like Chance said that, like life is short and angry, like Joe Pesci or something like that. Like
yeah, I was like, okay, a rap song with a Joe Pesci shout out. That's new on me.
No, that happens. If you listen to like, there's a bunch of hip hop songs where they like reference like you know mobsters and people you wouldn't think of. It happens. Okay. I'm like, all right. But yeah, for the most, I mean, what do you think of, I mean, do you want to talk about both songs back to back or just talk about
the next song? Yeah, I figure that makes the most sense. Yeah, his second number was a ballad called Lonely, which, it started with him backstage staring into a mirror and he like kind of wanders the hall of SNL and he ends up on stage at home base. And his lyrics are just kind of all about how tough it is to be a celebrity and how he's so lonely and no one knows the real him. And
yeah, I mean, this one was a little bit more personal, a little bit more introspective, where, like you said, he was just talking about how, I mean, he kind of gave up his childhood for fame and fortune and living in the spotlight, and that, you know, seemed to have taken a toll on him, and, you know, how it is, like, you know, growing up as, you know, as a teenager and, you know, in your 20s and just everybody, you know, having their cameras on you and looking at you and just pretty much commenting and tweeting out everything you do that can fuck you up, apparently. And it was, I thought that, I mean, the second song, Lonely, I thought was interesting. It's like, it's, I mean, just because, you know, I do appreciate it when, like, maybe pop stars try to become a little bit more introspective and a little bit more, and maybe not as, you know, maybe make songs that are a little bit more, have a little bit more depth to them, or at least, you know, they try to have that. So, like, I'll give them points for that.
Yeah, it didn't work for me. I just, it's tough for me to dredge up a whole lot of sympathy when, you know, you write a whole song about, oh, woe is me, it's so tough to be famous. And yeah, I know being famous does come with its own difficulties, but it's just, it's really tough to get people on your side when you bitch about it, you know?
No, I hear you. It's like when people talk about how tough it is being attractive and or like how tough it is being rich and wealthy. Like, you know, the average person don't want to hear that. Like you can only talk to your problems, you know, your pretty problems to other pretty people, your rich problems to other rich people. The average Joe don't want to hear how hard it is that, like, you know, yeah. you get dates all the time and how you can afford whatever you want. Like, that's, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. And besides the sentiment, me not being able to get behind the sentiment, I just thought it was a bad song. I thought it was fucking awful, honestly.
Oh, wait, which one? The Holy song or the Lonely?
The Lonely song was really bad.
Wow. All right. That's fair enough. Okay. Wow. Well, Biebs, I mean, you're in Montclair now, so, you know, you can, if you want to call in and take on Trumbull with his hot takes, you know, we're, the phone lines are open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're only like 10, 15 miles away from me, so yeah, we can have it out. We can settle our beef.
Duke it out in the streets of Montclair.
That wouldn't end well for anyone.
Yeah, probably not. So those are the, that's Justin Bieber. I thought they were okay, you know, for the most part. I thought they're all right.
Yeah, I'm, you know, look, I recognize I'm not the target for the Justin Biebs, but, you know, what you gonna do?
Fair enough. So weekend update with Jost and Jay. I mean, I mentioned this earlier in the episode, and I'll just say it again up top. Like, I thought Jay was kind of on fire in this weekend update.
Yeah. I mean, good old reliable Michael Jay.
Right, like, I remember, like, there was a tweet somebody put out. I think, I don't know if they tweeted to you exactly or to the SNL Twitter account, at SNL Nerd Show. Yes. But I think they said, like, well, why do we kind of bash Jost a lot and, like, really uplift Che? And I think you said, well, Che takes bigger swings.
And, yes.
And, I mean, if this weekend update doesn't perfectly encapsulate that tweet that you said, I mean... Because, like, he took some big old swings.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's just braver in his jokes. I feel like he goes after a lot of low-hanging fruit. I feel like his jokes tend to be a lot more obvious. And also, I feel like Michael Che delivers his jokes better. Jost can write a clever turn of phrase. I still don't think he's all that great at delivering jokes, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Jost is a little bit like Seth Meyers was back in the day, where the jokes are serviceable, they're good, but they're kind of, you know, they're a little obvious, and they're,
yeah,
okay. And but just when you compare them to Che's jokes, I mean, like you said, Che's jokes are stronger. They take, like, sometimes they'll take turns you don't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're more ballsier. They're like, it's, I mean, it's no contest. Che's jokes are just better.
Yeah, he's just stronger all around. Jay, he said, you know, NBC held a town hall with Trump because, what can I say? We have a type. And then they put up a picture of Bill Cosby, Matt Lauer, and Donald Trump. And it's just, wow.
Dude, the audience was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jay said something to them, because I guess up to this point where I kind of noticed it, where, like, the audience really wasn't giving that much throughout the entire show. Like, the sketches before this, the audience wasn't too crazy about. And so mm-hmm. when Che said that joke, he said back at them, I'm starting to think you guys don't like anything.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud at that. That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's Che's one of those people that's fun to watch even when his material's not going over great.
Yeah, because, like, he'll call himself out. He's like, he'll be like, all right, well, that one sucked. Whatever.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's probably the stand-up comedian in him.
Yes, I think totally. And I feel like that's probably a big reason why Che's stronger at delivering jokes than Jost, because Jost, his background was as a writer, not as a performer, really. So he's kind of had to learn on the job.
Yeah, I mean, he had that other joke later in the weekend update where he's saying police in Ohio say that the homeless man sleeping on a bench was actually a statue, a piece mm-hmm. of art. Which was a relief because they shot it 15 times. Jesus Christ.
Dark, but, you know, hey, there's obviously an element of truth in that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Jost had some jokes too, but, I mean, like, I don't know. I think Trey ran away with it this weekend update. He was just like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, Joe's had a joke somewhere around the middle of the newscast talking about how a governor's wife was called a racial slur at a grocery store. And he says, this was the worst case of racism at a grocery store since Newman's Own Salsa. And then they cut to a picture of the Paul Newman salsa with Paul Newman in a sombrero with a big old mustache. And it's like, I don't know. It just felt very hack.
No, I agree. Like, when you compare that joke to, you know, the homeless man bench joke, I mean, dude, one is clearly better.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, it's, I don't know. I mean, we could speak Che's praises all day.
Yes.
But yeah, it's, Che ran away with it. Che's MVP.
He did. I mean, I mean, he and Jost have their moments, and it is fun to see Che troll Jost, you know, especially when he's like calling him out for being like privileged or racist or whatever. And, you know, that's of course like just two buddies joshing at each other. I'm sure that Jost isn't actually any of that stuff, but
yeah, but it's just
fun to see him go after Jost.
Yeah, I mean, and Jost knows what he looks like. He's like, yeah, I look like a privileged white kid from England.
I mean, he titled his book A Very Punchable Face.
Yeah,
he's not unaware of how he's perceived.
Yeah, no, he gets it. So, like, the fact that he's able to roll with it, and it's fun. Even, like, during this weekend update, like, a lot of the jokes people were, like, maybe not loving or just were too kind of shocked by. But, like, mm-hmm. Chose and Jay were just having fun with just like living in the bomb, where they're like, all right, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And they obviously enjoy busting each other's chops and stuff like that. And I don't know. I feel like if I ever met Jost, I'd come away being like, oh, he's a really nice guy. I like him more. I feel like a little bad about all the horrible things I've said about him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sure if we met him, he'd be like, oh, he's actually okay. So
yeah.
Jost, the invitation's open to be on the SNL Nerds podcast whenever you like. You know, just call in.
He's like, yeah, I'll get right on that. Like,
yes, I'll leave my beautiful wife Scarlett Johansson for an hour to talk to these lamos from Jersey.
Oh God, if that ever happened, that would be so awesome and bizarre all at the same time.
Dude, if anybody knows anybody that can make that happen, let's do it. I would flip my lid.
Well, I know it's never going to happen until and unless Jost leaves the show. You know, I don't see anybody who's a current member on SNL ever coming on this show.
C'est la vie.
Anyway, but we also had Alex Moffat and Mikey Day making their grand return as Eric and Donald Trump Jr.
Dude, I really like Alex Moffat as Eric Trump. I really love what he does here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've had, they're talking about, you know, of course, the race and Trump and all these things. And I don't know, like, whenever Mikey Day and Alex Moffat get together as Donald Jr. and Eric, I love their back and forth. I love their chemistry. And I also love how, like, when Donald Jr., you know, Mikey Day is talking to Jost, Eric Trump is kind of doing his own thing.
Yeah,
he's
mirroring Don Jr., which is always fun to see.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love, because usually when in sketches, like when somebody is talking, the other person is just kind of not doing anything and just waiting for their turn to pipe in, waiting for them to say their lines.
Right, because you don't want to pull focus.
Exactly. Yeah, but like Moffat does is he kind of lives in the body of Eric Trump, and he's always either playing with his hands or kind of doing all these like really subtle kind of body movements and facial things that like kind of like he's getting a lot of laughs by not saying anything at all. And
yeah.
I really enjoy that.
I mean, you know, I just like the little touches. I like, you know, Eric wearing a Paw Patrol mask. I liked him like putting hand sanitizer on his tongue and being like, Dad said it was fine. I'm really going to miss these two. When the Trump administration goes away, I think the only thing I'm going to miss about the Trump administration is seeing these two on Weekend Update.
Fair enough. Absolutely. And we also get another Trump. We get Tiffany Trump, played by Chloe Fineman.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's, she's still celebrating her birthday, and they joke about how Tiffany and Eric have never actually met.
Yeah.
because Tiffany is, she's just one of those Trump kids you never really hear about.
Yeah, she's just kind of doing her own thing, and even Eric says to her, he says to Donald Jr., he's like, hey, who is this lady? And yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, that's your sister, bud. And she like, he like cautiously shakes her hands like, hi, not Ivanka.
Yeah, yeah. She had a cute line, dad's always taken the 6-foot social distance rule very seriously with me. I thought this was good. I thought Chloe's Tiffany voice was a bit hard to understand at times, so it was tough to get at what she was actually saying.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you could see she was trying to kind of adjust the voice a little bit, because I think she knows, like, it is hard for her to, for people to understand what she's saying when she talks in that Tiffany Trump voice, because I never heard Tiffany Trump talk. Did she actually talk like that? Like that harder, harder, harder type of voice? Like,
I honestly don't know. I have no idea. She's not someone I've ever seen a lot of news coverage on, and I've certainly haven't sought out news coverage on her, so I don't really know how she sounds.
Yeah, it's like her and Ivanka's husband, Jared. Like, no one's actually ever heard them talk, so no one knows what their voice sounds like.
So I think I've heard Jared talk at times. Yeah, you don't hear from him as much as Ivanka, but
I mean, either way, I thought Chloe did a great job. The energy or the chemistry was like a little shifted, like that, since it was, she came on and it was like the three of them instead of the two of them. But I think it still worked overall.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was solid throughout. That was probably the strongest segment in Weekend Update, I thought.
Right.
We also had a little brief thing called 80 in America, where 80 Bryant talks to voters in the heartland.
I mean, we're getting this segment because I think we posted it on our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Well, we don't have an Instagram. What am I saying? Our Twitter. But AD is not in New York. She's off in Portland filming the season 3 of Shrill. So
right.
For a while, I thought, oh, we're just not going to get AD for next few shows. And right. They found a way to get AD into today's episode.
Yeah, and it was just really her standing in a field saying she hasn't really found any undecided voters in the heartland.
Yeah, she's saying things are not good. She doesn't know where she is. She hasn't spoken to anyone. She's sorry. And that's it. It was like less than a minute.
Yeah, and it really just felt like, oh, this is a way to get 80 into the show.
Yeah, it really didn't kind of go anywhere. It was just like,
yeah,
it's less than a minute. It's short enough before you get sick of it. So I was like, okay, that was... It's nice to see her.
Yeah. Yeah. And lastly, we had Heidi Gardner as Carla, the famous 80s cocaine wife, commenting on all the New York City clubs being closed because of coronavirus.
Right. I mean, well, that's the premise, but then it's just basically Heidi Gardner's chance to showcase a character, which is like basically the stereotypical 70s, 80s, you know, disco wife that you see in all the movies where, you know, they're addicted to cocaine and stuff. It's a very specific character.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like Heidi had just rented Scarface or maybe Carlito's Way, something like that.
Right. Or maybe like Jennifer Lawrence's character in American Hustle or something like that. But
yeah, maybe, you know, one of those. It's in that wheelhouse.
Right. Right. I mean, I liked it just because I'm a big fan of Heidi and I like to see her do her character work. I think she's like a really strong character performer. I love her commitment. I mean, I'll admit it was just kind of meandering a little bit, but I just still found it kind of fascinating. Like, you know, how people were losing their jobs, like a dice blower or a home wrecker or a plaintiff.
Yes. Yeah. I did like that listing of jobs. And she's very surprised that there's going to be no after party after the show, because of the coronavirus. And she's all coked up. She, a couple times, she's like, I've got to powder my nose. And she takes out a little compact and then she's snorting from the compact. So.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, then I think Che is like, hey, I think you should leave. You know, you're out of control. And she's like, no, I'm still the same girl you met three moments ago at the Weekend Update desk. Michael, please let me give you a son, Michael. Let me give you a son. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I found it kind of interesting. I again, just because I like her character work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all right. I wasn't wild about it, but it was fine.
Okay. And then that's the weekend update. I mean, overall, I thought this weekend update was pretty strong, but, you know, mainly because of Michael Che's, you know, jokes, which, of course, we went on and on and on about.
Mm-hmm. Next, we had Your Voice Chicago, which was a talk show where they're just talking about politics, and Issa Rae's character just says that she's decided she's just going to vote for everybody black.
Right. So, it's basically like one of those Sunday morning African-American black shows. I should say just either African-American or black. I don't know why I said both.
You're covering your bases.
Yes. But, and it's also, I mean, basically the sketch is kind of, I guess, like started over Issa Rae's little viral moment she had back in 2017. Like, for those that don't know, like, when she attended the Emmys back in, 3 years ago, I think one of the reporters asked, hey, who are you rooting for? Who are you hoping wins an Emmy tonight? And she just said, kind of off the cuff, oh, I'm rooting for everybody black. And like,
I didn't know that background. Okay.
Yeah. She said, I'm rooting for everybody black. And like, I mean, she said it kind of half jokingly, but kind of half serious. And It kind of became like a viral thing. Like a lot of people were like, oh my, yes, queen. It's a movement and whatnot. Like people were loving it that she said that. People were making t-shirts with that slogan on it. And then of course other people were like upset saying, oh, she could say that, but if I said I'm rooting for everybody, why would it be a problem? So it was like a little
Yes, it would be a problem.
So she got like a little
That's a problem.
It would be.
That's not a thing you're supposed to say.
Yeah. So she got some flack for it and she got some love for it. So in this sketch, she just kind of flips it saying she's voting for everybody black. And then they show all these people who are running for a local office. It's one white person, one black person. And it's basically just Issa Rae's character trying to figure out reasons to still vote for the black person, even though the black person might not be the best qualified for.
Yeah. And we see that some of the black candidates are problematic for one reason or another. The joke is she always pivots and finds a justification.
Yeah, which I thought was a clever thing to do. I also liked how when they showed the pictures of the people running for office, two of them were actually writers for SNL. Like one picture they showed was Jasmine Pierce, who's a writer, and then they showed one of Gary Richardson, who's also a writer on SNL. Which
Okay, that's cool.
I thought that was like a nice little shout out.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's always nice when the writers find their way into sketches one way or another.
Right. And so then they go down the line of who's running for local office, and then we get to Chris Redd's character, who's like this guy who just became a reverend, and his stance is like outlaw masturbation, but like Issa still tries to find a way to justify voting for him. Then they had these two kind of conservative pundits, Crystal and Caviar, which of course is the play on Diamond and Silk, who are two like kind of internet people who, are pro-Trump, who are two black women who are pro-Trump, and like she tries to find a way to justify voting for them. And then the capper at the sketch is at the end, where Keenan, who's the host of the show, saying, well, join us next week when we talk about the people running for president, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Kanye West. And then Issa says, Kanye, F him. I thought it was a nice little capper, like saying, I could justify voting for all these black people except Kanye, who is just the worst.
Didn't he, like, I know he announced he was running, but then didn't he drop out, like, just right after that?
Dude, I don't know what he's doing anymore. Like, he's like, I think he just put out, like, a video saying, write him in, and he's such a disappointment. I just said it because I used to be a huge Kanye fan. Like, I think his I think his first four albums are amazing. Like, they're pretty much classics. But like, now he's in this space now where he's more known for his like the crazy things he says and his antics and all the tabloidy fodder than he is his actual music. And he's in a space where like when you hear Kanye West, you're like, oh yeah, that's the crazy dude that's like MAGA and says all these insane things. Oh, and he's also a musician.
And every once in a while, he does some music.
Yeah, and that sucks because he's a really good musician. He makes amazing beats and albums, but it's just his insanity just overshadows that, and he doesn't seem to want to control it. So he's just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's I don't know, that's my little Kanye rant. Like, I used to be a fan, but now I can't justify what he says and does.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, this was all right overall.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I could tell, like, the audience wasn't too great in it, but I thought the sketch was okay. I think it might have deserved a little more than the audience gave it. I think, I mean, as far as live sketches go, I thought this was pretty good, but I don't know. I thought this was good. As far as the live sketches go, I thought this was maybe the best out of all the live sketches, you know, pre-tapes withstanding.
Speaking of pre-tapes, next we had another pre-tape called Dancer, which was Kyle Mooney backstage having an awkward interaction with Issa, and it soon emerges that he wants to be a background dancer for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's where the sketch starts, and then it just kind of takes a lot of left turns. Like, this gets kind of all over the place.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it.
I mean, because it starts off with him wanting to be a dancer, and then he dances for Issa Rae, who's hanging out in the hallway, and then Issa Rae dances with him, and then they go into this future funk jam dance battle where Issa Rae is dressed up as like Left Eye from the No Scrubs video. And then they cut back to the hallway, and then Chance the Rapper comes in and dances. And then Andrew Dismuke says that Kyle has COVID. Like,
Really random out of nowhere ending where Kyle tests positive for COVID. And Andrew is like, you have to leave the building immediately.
I mean, this was obviously a Kyle Mooney joint, I mean, you know where I feel about him, but like, I don't know, I thought even for him, this was just kind of all over the place. It was like it felt like it was written by a 10-year-old kid in a way, where it's like, and then Kyle Mooney dances, and then Issa Rae dances, and then they dance together, and then Chance the Rapper comes in and he dances, and then Kyle has COVID.
It was like, you know, maybe they had a page from like five different sketches, and then they just grabbed a random page from each sketch, and then they mashed them all together.
Yeah, right.
And that was this segment.
This sketch is like a Frankenstein's monster. It's just like a bunch of pieces of stuff just sewn together.
Yeah, it was more weird than funny, which is, I feel like a lot of times that's what Kyle Mooney is going for.
Yeah, like, so I mean, there's even one point in the sketch where he actually looks into the camera after he got the diagnosis that he has COVID, and he's like, yeah, though my life is pretty random. I was like, yeah, this sketch proves it.
And so are the sketches you produce for the show.
Oh, shout out to Kyle Mooney. You met him.
Nice. Again, very nice guy. I mean, very, very nice personal in the brief time I met him. But
I just don't pick up on what his humor is. Like, I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's okay that not every sketch is for us specifically.
Right.
I mean, I one of the things I like about SNL though is that it tries lots of different types of humor. So
right.
there's certainly room for this type, and when they do something that works, I love it. I just wish they had a higher batting average, right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, it's not you, it's us.
Yeah.
Yes,
but it's partly you too.
Oh, wow. Again, Kyle Mooney, call into the podcast. You're always welcome.
Next, we had a Jack Flats commercial. This was a restaurant chain talking about how, you know, they're sad they can't be there for their loyal customers in the age of COVID. And then the commercial broadcast is hijacked by this militia who's just demanding that Jack Flats comes back.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it seems like Jack Flats is kind of like a Johnny Rockets type of restaurant. They point out the fact that, you know, it's one of those restaurants where, like, the waiting staff kind of makes fun of the customers because, like, that's part of the charm of it. And then, like you said, the video feed of the commercial gets cut off and interrupted by this militia that are, like, demanding that the restaurant open. And it's just Beck and Kyle and Dismukes, actually, just screaming into the camera, while death metal plays in the background, saying like, "We want this store. We want this restaurant to be open again now. I don't like the mess. I can't see the smiles." And
yeah, this was just odd.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, like the thing they're saying, they're it's also well, the thing they said, like, well, if Jack's Last doesn't open, then they kind of, then their voice gets quiet. It's like their voice gets quiet, and then they say, yeah, you know, if you guys don't open, I'll just, you know, kidnap the governor. I don't know what. So it's like them kind of, it's like the sketch is like kind of tackling the whole that kidnap plot where the governor mm-hmm. of Michigan almost got kidnapped, kind of.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't really get where they were coming from.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
yeah, and plus, like literally, you know, Dismukes and Kyle and Beck, they were screaming all of their dialogue, and to the point where it was kind of hard to make out what they were saying. It was kind of hard to hear the jokes with the death metal playing in the background, so I couldn't, it's like some parts I was kind of trying to make out, and then they bring in Keenan at one point, who's like a friend of Beck, who wants the playground open, so it's like maybe inferring that he does things to kids. I don't know. This sketch was like a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it was more perplexing than anything. Just I didn't get where it was coming from, and so consequently didn't laugh a whole lot.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess they're trying to make fun of militias, but then they brought in the whole, you know, kidnapping the governor plot, but they didn't really have any, they didn't seem to really go anywhere with that. They just kind of brought it up, and I don't know. Again, this is like another sketch where it kind of feels like half-baked and not fully realized to me. I mean, it's good to see this Mukes get some screen time. He's like a new guy, and they brought in Lauren Holt too for a little bit, so that's nice.
Yeah, she had a bit part as a like a waitress that they particularly liked at Jack Flats. So, and she's coming on. She's like, "Hey, I'm just here because they promised me $1,000 and said I could be in a movie."
And that's the joke.
Yeah, and she's apparently is not opposed to the movie becoming a porno.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Again, like, I don't know. It just didn't. They just weren't strong enough to carry the sketch. I thought they're, again, it's like, it's more interesting than it was funny.
Yeah.
And even interesting is I'm being a little generous with that.
Yeah. So lastly, we had a pre-tape, a commercial for eBay, where here they're just focusing on people who. Bought things off of eBay early on in the pandemic, and now they're offering them an opportunity to sell stuff that they bought and never used. Things like exercise bikes or things for new hobbies that they were going to pick up while under quarantine and never got to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really like this sketch just because it does touch on something that, I mean, maybe hits a little bit too hard for home for me because, like, you know, when this whole thing started.
Playing guitar?
Yes, right? Dude.
Yeah, okay. I know you've been learning guitar in quarantine, and at one point, Chris Redd's character sees, like, I tried playing guitar, but it hurts to strum.
No one tells you that. I don't like it when it hurts.
And I thought of you during that. I was like, oh, I wonder if that's something that Darren is going through.
Dude, like, Chris Redd, he's wearing glasses. He's talking about playing guitar. I wear glasses. I talked about playing guitar on this podcast, so part of me was like, oh, is this supposed to be me?
But you never talked about how it hurts to strum the guitar.
It does, so. Yeah, it does hurt. I'll admit that. Like, no one does tell you that. You do have to, like the more you practice with a guitar, you do have to, like, build up calluses just because you have to press your fingers on the strings and they're, like, that hard kind of metal. So you do build calluses and it does hurt. But in my defense, I'm still doing the guitar. I'm learning some chords. I can do a G and an E and a D minor. Ooh. So things are moving along. I have not given up on the guitar just yet.
Okay.
But this sketch, like, it does hit on that feeling where, like, at the beginning of this whole pandemic, when it started, I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to work out more every day. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to finish that screenplay. I'm going to write new jokes for my stand-up set. Like, I'm going to get a lot done. And like as of now, I've written maybe 2 new jokes and just spent a lot of time, you know, rewatching Marvel movies and eating cheesecake and barbecue. So that's what I've done.
Okay. That's kind of sort of productive. Yeah.
It's self-care.
Exactly. It's self-care. I marathon Community on Netflix. Last night after SNL, I discovered that Danger 5 is running on Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I knocked off the first season of Danger 5. Probably finish off the second season today.
We're doing things. It's all self-care.
We're doing things.
But I mean,
have you seen Danger 5, by the way?
What's up?
Have you seen Danger 5, by the way?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, it's this Australian show where it's... God, it is so bizarre. They are fighting World War II, but they are fighting World War II in the style of like a 1960s Gerry Anderson show, and it's got like really obvious miniatures and stuff. And they get it's this group of spies that they get their orders from a guy who has an American Eagle head. It's nuts, but it's very funny and very surreal. And it's check it out.
Okay, where is it again? Oh, maybe I will check that
out. It's on Amazon Prime right now.
I will check that out in lieu of reading a novel that I've been meaning to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, reading. Who needs that?
Come on, that's for eggheads. Watch this.
Yeah.
Back to the sketch. So I did like that one line that Heidi had where she said, I spent $80 on my embroidery equipment back in March, but then I just stared at my phone, and now it's October.
Yeah, and they introduce a new subdivision of eBay called Prebay, where we intercept your overly optimistic purchase and take it right back before you ever open it. So you see a package being dropped off at somebody's door, and then they like tape over it again and then take the package right back.
I thought that was great.
That was great. And at the very end, the narrator, Cecily Strong, by the way, who just says, this commercial doesn't apply to you if you worked or had kids.
Right. So, covering the bases.
So it's giving those people a pass. But us single people who do not have children, it's going at us hard.
No excuse.
No excuse.
But yeah, I mean, I dug this sketch. I thought this was... maybe the second best of the night. Like this and the 5-hour empathy, I thought were the 2 strongest sketches of this episode.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the pre-tape stuff generally seems to be a cut above the live sketches these days.
Yeah, I have noticed that for a while. Yeah, like they're always, I mean, not always, but 9 times out of 10, they're just way better than whatever live sketches happen, which I mean, I don't know why that is. Maybe just because you have more time to like kind of edit it and perfect it and chop it down a bit more. But
yeah, I don't know. I can craft it a little bit more.
Yeah, but I mean, the humor is always better and more sharper and funnier. But I don't know. I'm just hoping they change that and maybe make the live sketches just give them a little bit more, because like there were a number of sketches in this episode where I was like, This isn't completely done. Like the cold open, the date sketch, the Jack Flats. I was like, I don't know if this is fully realized just yet.
I did like on the last couple things they had Cecily Strong narrating some stuff because she's shooting. What is she shooting? She's shooting like some other show right now.
I believe she's in Vancouver shooting that show for Apple Plus.
Okay.
I think it's with Keegan-Michael Key, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I think Lauren is producing it, too.
Okay.
But, yeah. That's what she's off doing right now.
All right. Well, you know, I hope she's able to come back to the show before too long, because I do miss seeing her on the live show. And, you know, realistically, we're probably not going to get a whole lot more of Cecily on SNL. I feel like this is probably going to be her last year, but... who knows?
Right. All right. So then that's the episode. I mean, overall, I thought this episode was better. I thought it was, I still think the Bill Burr episode was better, but I think this episode had stronger sketches, like the pre-tapes, like I said. So I mean, it might be right in between. I think it's right in between the Chris Rock and the Bill Burr.
Okay, that seems fair. I'm not sure if I'd put it above the Bill Burr or not. Maybe. Yeah, I feel like maybe the pre-tapes in this one were stronger than the Bill Burr one, but yeah, 6 of 1, half a dozen on the other.
Okay, fair enough. And if you heard me go, ooh, that's because I was looking at my phone, just trying to see if there were any tweets and whatnot. And as it turns out, SNL just put out who's going to be hosting and musical guesting on their next episode. And it is, I did not see this coming.
Yeah. Yeah. They posted this while we were recording. They posted this like 37 minutes ago on the official SNL Twitter account. And
breaking news.
October 24th. So next Saturday, we've got host Adele.
Which is what?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's one of the go-to moves that SNL does. They have somebody they liked as a musical guest come back and be the host. And the musical guest, her. Is it her or H-E-R? I don't know.
I think they pronounce it her. I know of her.
Okay.
Her? Her? Yeah, she's like, you know, I know she plays the guitar. She's like a R&B soul funk kind of performer. She's very good. But Adele as the host kind of throws me because, I mean, for one, we haven't really heard much from her in a while. She's kind of been laying low. And I think she went through like a big weight loss recently too. So, but no one's seen her in person.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Now, yeah. Like if you look like on the tabloids, you see like she kind of lost like a ton of weight. So people have been saying she looks like Sarah Paulson, the actress Sarah Paulson.
I can see some facial resemblance between those two. Sure.
Right, right. And but also, like, as far as her hosting, like, she's like a straight-up musician. Like, I don't think she's ever done any acting in any movie or TV show. But she seems to have a good sense of humor, so
yeah,
this should be interesting.
Well, they must have liked her when she came by the show before and performed at the show before. And you know, SNL, they've done a few things that obviously showed what Adele super fans they were. So, yeah, it's going to be something to see.
This will be something to see. Adele and her. Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And, yeah, that's our episode, guys. That's all we got to blab on about.
I don't know. Did we get any interesting questions or anything from the Twitter sphere this week?
I don't believe we did.
Oh.
No, we didn't.
Okay. So if you commented and Darren doesn't think you're worthy, obviously.
Whoa! No! I'm just saying we didn't. Oh, easy. Don't try to.
I am straight up throwing you under the bus.
Dude, where's I thought we were friends, man. we haven't gotten any tweets about it. People seem to be kind of mixed about this episode. Some people dug it. Some people were like, eh. I mean, it seemed like everybody was not crazy about the cold open, which is understandable. But it seems like a mixed reaction about over the show overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And as always, thanks for guys for listening. You can, you know, rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, the Apple Tunes, the Google Plays, and the Spotify's and what have you. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter at SNL Nerds Show. And,
Yeah, and please, if you enjoy the show, tell a friend about it. Tweet about it. Retweet it when we post it. We like doing the show, but we really want to grow the audience. And, also, if you can take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app of your choice, we really appreciate that, too. We do read every one, and we like that, and that really does help us out. So please rate us 5 stars. Give us a nice review. Help spread the word.
Absolutely. And, as always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible. If you're in the Jersey area, the West Orange area, you can see me. I'm doing stand-up again. Hey!
Yay!
Got a show this Wednesday at the Oak Barrel Pub outdoor event. It'll be under a tent, masks, social distancing, you know, the whole Megillah. So if you want to see me, tell the two new jokes I wrote throughout this 9 month of, you know, quarantine. Come out to Oak Barrel Pub and see me tell my joke 'em ups.
Ooh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, it's fun to see Darren live. He's got a great act, and there'll be a lot of other fun comics on that bill as well, I'm sure. And if you want to follow me on the Twitter and the Instagram, I'm at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And as always, you can follow the show page at SNL Nerds Show on Twitter.
Absolutely. And join us next week when we have Adele and her. I'm still kind of process this. Like
you're still reeling. I'm still reeling.
I can feel it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, maybe she's a better. Maybe it'll be like the Halsey thing where like I never heard of her, and like when I see her perform, it was like a welcome surprise. Or back when like before Justin Timberlake was doing acting and people just knew him as the dude from NSYNC, and he actually was a really good skilled comedic performer. So. Who knows? Maybe Adele will surprise me. Either way, I'm looking forward to it, and we'll report on it next week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll check it out. All right, so next week, Adele and her, and we will see you then. But until then, Nerds out.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.